But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. God transmits his joy to his words. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Joy creates an atmosphere for God to move. Give me Philippians 4, verse 4. We'll take it on from there. So then you give me Philippians 1, 21 to 25. We'll just pick it up from there. Did you receive? Has God spoken to you in just this season, this session of prayer? Did the Lord speak to you? Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Okay, let's have the scriptures up. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians, which is the first, or Philippians 4:4. Amen. Message translation, I believe. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel him. Hallelujah. Amen. Give me King James or New King James. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. We don't have much time in the second service. Okay. We just have a little time. And your thoughts, I wanted to go home with. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. We began teaching about the economy of joy. This is the third week I'm teaching on the economy of joy. And it's orchestrated by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And we've been receiving amazing feedbacks from the teaching. Well, let me just see those who are here. Have you been blessed by this teaching so far? Hallelujah. And please don't let this stop in church. Ensure to get the materials and go home. And go home to listen to them, okay? See, let me tell you something. The way to grow is by chronic interface with God's word. That's the way to grow. There's no magic about that. You will tell yourself that, look, once is not enough. I remember somebody gave this analogy many years ago, and it blessed me. He said, we have the four gospels, okay? We have the four gospels. At least four people wrote about the early life of Jesus, and a lot of his stories were repeated. So the person said, if you have not listened to a message four times, you can't get the point. Hallelujah. Minimum four times. Amen. And I do that. I listen to God's word for a living. You don't look like you believe what I just said. I listen to God's word for a living. Why? The word of God renews your mind. And the truth is, you are supposed to renew your mind for a living. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Your first job is your renewal of your mind. Glory to God. You see, the gospel, after getting you saved, getting you born again, introducing you to a relationship with the Lord, the next ministry is a renewal of your mind. And a major way that goes on is by the hearing of faith. Giving attention to God's word. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 1, verse 20 for me. James 1, 20, message translation. James 1, 20. Message translation. God doesn't have another way. God doesn't have another method. His strategy is his word. That's his strategy. 21. That's his strategy. His tool for transformation is his word. So when you give attention to the word, you are partnering with him. Okay? When you give premium, you place premium upon God's word, you are giving him something to work with. It is your partnership with him. Can we read this together? One, two, go. Hold on. I want everybody in this hall to read. okay? And put up the Amplify, sorry, the Message translation. I want us to read that. One, two, go. Yes. Let our gardener, You know, if that was all you read from church, you can go home. Don't you think so? Making a salvation garden of your life. Making a salvation garden of your life. So you see, this is God's intent. This is his vision. He wants to make a salvation garden of your life. But you have to let him. So he tells you with humility, simple humility, let God through his word landscape. I love this. Landscape. Who does landscape in here? Anybody? You've done a landscaping job before. Anybody I know? I'm seeing the architect, Sandy. You've not done it before. Hallelujah. You pay people to do it. Hallelujah. Now, it talks about giving structure to a place, right? Giving a beautiful structure to a place. That's what it's talking about. Let God give your life a beautiful structure through his word. And then let him make a beautiful salvation garden out of your life. But the way is the word. The instrument is the word. The how is the word. And your partnership with him to come with humility to always hear, always listen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So want is not enough. The economy of joy. Want is not enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 1, 25, 21 to 25. Very quickly, I will share the three things that a Christ-centered life will affect in your life to produce a life of continuous joy. Number one, perspective. Number two, priorities. Number three, perseverance. I took my time to talk about the first two in the first service. So I'll just give us perspective there and move to perseverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, these two things I've mentioned, you see them lived out through the life of Paul. Remember, our landing page is Philippians. And Paul, a man in prison, was writing to Christians who were free. And he was teaching them how to be joyful. Ain't that remarkable? You know, I was telling someone recently, and I believe I've said this year before, that if a lot of the 21st century Christians were Paul, they would have been depressed. Not just depressed, they would think there's a generational curse working. But Paul thought otherwise. Think about it. Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. See the things that he faced. He said, it was so much that we despaired even of life. Pressed beyond measure. But in that, you see the mindset of Paul. You see his perspective. Forsaking, not abandoned. Crush but not destroy. Are you here? He ran into false brethren. He didn't say, hey, fake people. Listen, any pastor who sees sucking on how people treat them can never handle a big church. You see, a 1,000 member church is 1,000 wahala. Amen. With all due respect, amen. you didn't know that. Hallelujah. All kinds. You see, your relationship with someone as a pastor, people you love can deal with you and destroy the relationship that you had without them. Somebody steals is on you. Somebody is a police station. You know the first person they call? Pastor. Amen. Somebody defrauds someone. Who did they call? Pastor. Somebody gets somebody pregnant. Who did they call? Pastor. One day I told them, I said, I was not there when this thing happened. I was not there. You are dragging me into the whole thing. I was not there. Paul had worse. Are you with me? He had people set him up. He had people say all kinds of things against him. But none of those things moved him. He had an important perspective, a kingdom perspective that we must have. We must develop. We must consciously put into our consciousness, as it were. There was a way he saw things. And by the way, perspective just means the vistas through which you see life. It is said that you don't see things the way they are. You see things the way you are. So it's not about the things and the happenings. It's about how you see them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told them a story in the first service, Mr. Ratantata. Amen. Some of you already know that. Four people were asked the question, how long will it take for you to buy a BMW? The engineer said 5 to 6 months. The lawyer said 5 to 6 months. The doctor said about the same thing, 5 to 7 months. The engineer said maybe 8 to 9 months. Are you with me? And then they asked Mr. Ratantata the same question. And he said 3 to 5 years. They said, why? He said, because BMW is a big company. Did you get that? He thought they were asking how long it take to buy the company. No wonder he became a billionaire in dollars. Perspective. Others had car. Now, within the boundary of their possibilities, buying the company did not exist. The Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the boundaries of life. Are you with me? You only enjoy the things that are within the boundaries of your possibilities. And when we talk about the boundaries of your possibilities, it's first a perspective. It's not about what you have in your hand. It's first a perspective. That's the first thing. Glory to God forevermore. A research was done. A survey was done, and they were asking people what their top killjoys were. And you know what came on top? People. So people say people were the top killjoys. Over 63% said people. Then you had another large percentage talk about fear, unfavorable circumstances. Are you here? And like I added in the first service, competition is a killjoy. Selfishness is a killjoy. Fear is a killjoy. In fact, in that survey, they added fear there. Fear was about 33%. It's a killjoy. But you see, by the time you sum everything together, you will agree with me that for everything people listed, plus the ones you will list that they mentioned, that is your killjoy, is about perspective. Some will say men are killjoy. Others will say women are killjoy. That's your business. It's all perspective. In fact, there are those who believe that children are killjoy. There's someone I know, he's in his 50s, doesn't have children. He's a part of the reason. I don't know whether he's saying the truth or not. Is it because he feels children are stressful? He's prosperous, he's blessed. Amen. He doesn't have children. Amen. Somebody is surprised. He says the person in Africa. No, actually, the person is not in Africa. Amen. Hallelujah. But don't be surprised, in Europe, the reason birth rate went down and some were predicting extinction for the Caucasian in certain European countries was that they felt children were a hindrance to their joy as couples. A lot of couples in Europe didn't want to have children many years ago. And some of them still have that mindset today. In fact, there are countries where they incentivize people to give birth to children. Did you get that? They pay you to have children because of the population decline. In fact, some projected that in the next 100 years, for certain nations, the aborigines may not exist anymore if nothing is done. Are you here? So for those people, having children is a killjoy. What a perspective. What a perspective. Self-centered perspective. Somebody says she doesn't want to lose her shape, so she can have children. Wow. Why are you taking it personal? Somebody says your shape perish with you.
He's not fight. He's her body, amen.
Learn some respect for her body. Don't you think so? Why in the world has demanding respect for her? In the liberals in America said, killing a human being that by choice you conceived is your right. Why are you taking my right away from me? Right to my body. I'm sure some of you can't reconcile it. Right. It's so bad that in some states, abortion is legal till 10. I mean, still 9 months, you can decide to have an abortion. Yes. Let me change your viability now. You are a good... I say 9 months at 10. Abortion at 10 in law. Just in case you change your mind. What do we call that? It's wicked. What else? Of course, it's birthday mother. It's birthday mother. Birthday, it is classified as murder. Amen. It should be a crime. Of course, all Americans are not like that. There are states where abortions are outlawed. You can't do abortion. You can't do it. It's a jail term. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about perspective. How you see things. So for everything that people call killjoys, people, I call it the paradox of people, the people paradox. People are a source of joy and peace. Yet people are a source of sorrow, sadness, and depression. Do I have any witnesses? My eyes are closed. Everybody has been there. Do I have any witnesses? Let me see those who are telling lies in church. Do I have any witnesses? Nobody has ever stressed you in this your life. He must be lying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stress in different shades. But I'm telling you now that it's about perspective. How do you see people? Do you have a Christ-centered perspective about people? People are not perfect. So do you see them as perfect? People are a work in progress, just like you. Do you relate to them like that, or you relate with people with unrealistic expectations? People have issues, and sometimes it's transferred aggression. Hallelujah. And some of you that are married, you have to learn that too. Sometimes you are not the issue. She's not angry at you. He's not angry at you. It's something else. Learn some emotional intelligence. Praise God. It's something else. Just trace the source. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's hormonal. Amen. We're all spirit led. You know all these things I'm saying? My wife is not inside though. She's not inside, amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not inside. Your pastor, I'm an angel. I'm higher than angels. Hallelujah. But you see, once you know that, look, people are not perfect. You create accommodation in your heart for them. And that will reduce your stress 50%. It will help you work in prophylactic forgiveness. Are you here? So it's perspective. If you have a kingdom perspective about people, they will not steal your joy. Rather, they'll be a source of joy or a channel of joy. Are you with me? People are to be loved and saved, not used. Again, we see all that in the life of Paul. The more focused you are in serving the people, the less likely you are to be offended by them. Service. Let's read our Philippians very quickly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 1, 21 to 25. Philippians 1. If you are blessed already, say amen. Are you ready? He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a perspective. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruits from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. What is he saying? There's a way King James puts it that is so beautiful. It's I'm in betwixt two, right? I don't know whether to stay or to remain. Glory to God. Now, he starts by telling you, I'm not afraid to die. But I have the authority and the power to choose. What a perspective. That is to show you that Paul was not afraid. He was not afraid of death. He was not afraid of tomorrow. He was not afraid of the outcomes in the flesh. Why? He was consumed by his service to the master and to his people. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for who? This church is not responding. Is more needful for who? For you. Here is Paul talking. Just imagine Paul. He said, well, I'm not afraid to die. If I die, it's even better for me. I can go and be with the one I love. If I remain, it is for your sake. So what is for Paul in this equation? Maybe going. But because of his love for the people, he decided to stay. You will see further, as we read further, 24, 25, you see that Paul's decision to remain was because of the people. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you. All, not some. I'll continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Remarkable. So his reason for staying was the people. For their progress and their joy of faith. Why Paul was a sold out man. Perspective. Even among friends. You see, for your friends to stress you, chances are you have so much expectations to be saved. Let me teach you a secret. Once you raise your perspective, look, among this circle of friends, I am the servant. You will notice immediately that nobody amongst them can take your joy away. The problem is we go into friendships and relationships thinking we are there only to be served. Are you with me? Or we are there to receive the harvest of our labor. The Bible says you shall reap what you sow. It didn't say you shall reap where you sowed. Meaning if you sow love and service, you will reap it. God's law cannot be broken now. People are not persuaded about these things. If you sow the seed of service, and you can go and try it. Among your circle of friends, be the servant. And you say, you're not serving because Jesus said, those who want to be great should serve. Who want to be greater should serve. It's still that primary school I want to carry first that is worrying you. That means you're not serving because you are looking forward to be better than them. No, you are serving because this is who you are. And this is what you derive your satisfaction from. Living for the master. It's perspective. Hallelujah. How you see things, it reduces your stress. The other thing is living free of the opinion of men. I'm amazed when I'm a pastor, so I talk to people. I'm amazed when I see people who get depressed because of what somebody said. I'm really amazed. You say, pastor, you don't understand. People tell you nice things all the time. Really? That's what you think. Let me tell you something. Proof that you are growing is that neither praise nor criticism touches you. It doesn't affect you. When people praise you, enjoy the moment, but it's left in that moment. Do you understand? You don't carry it with you. No, you don't. You treat them the same. Flush is not for use. You see, if you live on praise, criticisms will affect you. Because the same faculty that responds. Are you with me? But if you are self-satisfied in Christ's sufficiency, and when people praise you, it's for his glory. When they criticize you, it's still for his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, pastor,
You are such a blessing to me. You changed my life forever. Oh, glory to God. Praise be to God forever. Thank you, Father, for counting me worthy to use me to be a blessing to this person. That's how I think. That's how I receive it. I'm not saying the person is lying. No. But once you do that, if the same person ever came and said, you're never a blessing to me. You deceived me. You were never really blessing. Just that I did not know better. Now I'm deeper. Amen. I said, okay, blessed be the name of the Lord. Live independent of people's opinion. It is hard, but you have to train your mind. It is difficult, but you have to train your mind. This was what's perspective. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 down, you see there. Verse 11, it says, I've learned that in whatever circumstances I am, in whatever state I am, I've learned to live independent of circumstances. A translation puts it that way. Independent of circumstances. Paul lived independent of happenings, independent of what people said, independent of what people did not see. He said, I've learned to live independent, whatever state I am, to be content. The transition expounds it further. Independent of circumstances. Verse 12. He said, for I've learned to abyss. Give me verse 12. He said, I know how to abyss and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. So the next verse that we quote is not really a confession of faith in context. It's a confession of Paul's resolution, his persuasion about the faithfulness of God regardless. So the next thing he said, I can do all things to him that strengthens me. He's saying, I can abase, I can abound. I can suffer, I can be, are you with me? I can come under pressure and it doesn't mean anything to me. I can be in overflow and it doesn't mean anything to me. Because in whatever state I am, I have learned to live independent of circumstances. So if the comment that somebody dropped on your Instagram still shows on your face, you need to learn what Paul learned. There are those who can't sleep because of what somebody said. Really? Is your platform? Delete it. That's the first thing. That's if you can't hold, if you are like me, leave it. Except it's something that is misleading. I did a post one day that went viral. That post about marriage. Marriage without purpose is useless. Somebody remember that's like about a year ago. I mean, he reached to tens of thousands of people. You need to see some of the comments. I didn't even know it was a month later. I was just laughing. Amen. I was laughing. People have different opinions. I said, that's your opinion. It doesn't mean anything to me. Hallelujah. Live independent of circumstances. That's your perspective, a Christ-centered perspective. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What a perspective. That kind of man, you can't threaten him with death. You can't. And that's where we must get to. Are you with me? That's where we must get to. Glory to God forevermore. That's where we must get to. Because that perspective will give you perseverance. It will shape your priorities and give you perseverance. I will reach there today. It will give you perseverance. It will help you persevere. Hallelujah. Free from the opinion of people. Deal with fear. God lives in your tomorrow. Fear of death. There's no need to be afraid of death. Look at what Paul said. From that scripture 21 to 25, you see that Paul is clear that death does not have the authority over him. He's saying that I can choose. You know what he said in verse 24? He said, I've chosen to stay. 24 rather. I've chosen to stay. It's more needful for you, and I choose to stay for your sake. I know that I shall remain for your furtherance and join the faith. So Paul is saying, I've chosen to remain. Why is he saying that? He's simply saying, death cannot come like a hawk and take me. Do you understand what Paul is saying? That I can choose to be alive. And when his time of departure was at hand, he wrote about it. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have kept the faith. Now there remained for me a crown of righteousness. A crown. He knew when it was time to go. And Satan did not take him. They offered themselves as the foundation of the church. That's what they did. The same thing for the other apostles. Look at John the Beloved. Historians, Bible historians, tell us that John, during the great persecution, was put in a drum of boiling oil. They cooked and cooked him. The oil dried and he was alive. Askibakula kakatis. That's the man who brought to us the revelation of eternal life. If that's not dominion, I don't know what it is. Let me know if you have anybody. I won't say you there, pour oil your hand. There is, they boil the person in drum of oil. You understand? They said he was not normal. They banished him to the island of Patmos. That was where he received the book of Revelation. Are you here? During the great persecution in church history, there was a man, Asha, one of the revivalists in France. During the persecution, they cut his head. The head fell on the ground. He carried the head and put it back. And he lived after. You see, you are doubting God because you don't know history. You can't hear that. Did you hear what I said? No, let me say it again. They cut his head. He used his hand to carry the head and put it back. And moved on. With the aid of a simple diagram, explain what just happened. The head was severe. That means every organ in the neck were cut into. The blood vessels, the nerves, the muscles, the trachea, the breathing part, the eating part, everything. Then he put it back. What gummed it? The power of eternal life. The power of eternal life. Real life stories. He put it back and moved on. There were monks, they were building, they needed to carry a beam to the top of the building, not those monastery. He carried the beam and went up in the air and gave the person that came down. It's not film trick. They are so contemplated on eternal life. Are you here? Perspective. Glory to God. Perspective. Jesus raised a man who was dead for 4 days. That is no joke. Autolysis has set in. That is no joke. I know somebody who came back to life who was embalmed. I spoke with him, was it last year when my mom was around? Yes. He was embalmed. Kaki kakuska. We serve a living God. The reason for your fear is that you don't know God. Tell yourself you will know God. Did you hear what I said? He had an accident. He had a head injury. His jaw had fallen. On this, I spoke with him last year. This thing happened 7-8 years ago. People were praying. They say he cannot go. It was in the mortuary. Yes. And he was talking about what happened there. He said he met the Lord Jesus. And God told him, he called his name. He said, I know you want to be here. He said, Lord, I'm not going. He said, I know you want to be here. He said, there are people down here that will not let you go. On the third day in the mortuary, he kicked his leg. Hey. Are you here? Glory to God. Our covenant is tight. The possibilities in the Christian faith are endless. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. He's one of the faithful preachers I know. He's in a small town, small town. I knew he was one of the men I knew as a young lad. Are you here? How many of you are feeling? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says women received their dead back to life through faith. And he mentioned women specifically because there's something about the faith of a woman. There's something about the faith. That's why the God of this world wants to distract women. So he wants to distract them. They think it's nakedness now. They think he's showing breasts. Everything is to distract you. It's not beauty. Everything is to distract you. So you don't live to your fullest potential. There's something about the faith. Who was the first to see Jesus after he was raised? He was a woman. Who was the first to proclaim the good news? He was a woman. Among those who were fasting and praying for Jesus to come was Anna the prophet. I can go from Genesis to Revelation. At every significant point in history, you will find a woman there. You will find a woman there. In the positive sense, you'll find a woman there. Significant stuff. So this is a message to our ladies. Don't get distracted. Your destiny is not just to get married. No, that is not your destiny. It's a part of what you are to do. Are you with me? But it's not a destiny. Glory to God. Your destiny is much more. You are to live out the life of Christ. Manifest the victory of Jesus. Bring a dispensation upon this generation that reveals Christ without controversy. You tell yourself, I'm going to be a girl on fire. You see, the cultural programming has not helped us. But you can live beyond that. Hallelujah. You will raise your perspective. Bottom line, everything we call killjoys, once your perspective is shaped by Christ, by Christ-centered living, Christ-centered life, they will not take your joy away. The way you see people will be different. The way you see fear will be different. The way you see negative circumstances will be different. You always see the good side of things. Are you with me? It will be different. Let the list go on and on. The way you see competition will be different. You will never compete with people because you know that, look, when God created you, he put you in a class of his own and you are satisfied in your own lane. You are. Why you can see the bigger picture? Christ-centered living means you can see the bigger picture. You can. If some of you married when you wanted to marry, you would have scattered the marriage. Go and think deep. You know what I'm talking about. Always see the big picture. Some of these years from now, you look behind and say, Kai, God, you are the only wise God. Thank you for carrying me along this path. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you be grateful. Oh, you be grateful. Imagine if you're looking at the 12 sons of Jacob, you think the greatest was Joseph, but he wasn't. He wasn't. As far as the agenda of heaven is concerned, which lineage did Jesus come from? Judah. When he was time for the king to come out, he came out, he didn't come out from the one that was prime minister. God is a just God. Everybody's destiny is unique. And we can break the destiny of the 12 of them down to show you that everyone has a unique destiny. Yours may not be flashy, but stay with God and understand your purpose and be satisfied in your lane. You let go of competition. You let go of competition. You know that there is a master puppeteer. There is a judge of the universe that judges all men, that measures all men, that will reward you based on your faithfulness to what he has committed to your head. You will know that the praise of men does not translate to the praise of God. You know that the accolades of men does not translate to the accolade of God. In this ministry, I'm laboring that God will honor and give me the reward based on my faithfulness. Because I know that it is possible for someone who is looked at as the least among us to get the greatest reward from this labor. It's possible. Oh, with God, it's possible. It's possible. Once you raise your perspective, you don't have competition. Compete about what? Has power finished? Has money finished? Have fine men finished? Has fine women finished? Has jobs finished? Are you with me? Anointing has not finished. Nobody has the monopoly of the Holy Ghost. Monies have not finished. Inventions have not finished. You will tell yourself, I will create my own story. Or rather, I will let God tell his story with my life that will inspire my generation. I know my path looks different. It looks difficult. It looks strange. But I will let God tell his story with my life. For his glory. For his glory. For his glory. And this is not even looking forward to certain manifestations so you can be vindicated. No. It has nothing. I told you, that was first service. It has nothing. Your joy is not even tied to the answers to the prayers that came. Before the answers came, you were joyful. You were satisfied. Why? Christ is your satisfaction. That's what Paul is saying. I've learned to whatever state I am to be content. So I'm praying to build a house. Before the house came, I was satisfied. It wasn't the completion of the house that gave me the satisfaction. I was satisfied. That means if the house never came, I'll be satisfied. But the coming of the house will bring in glory. That is why the house has to come. Are you seeing it? The most important thing about your results is to give him glory. Once you can't see him being glorified, you are not a disciple. It's not to show your village people that your God is faithful. That is juvenile. Juvenile revelation. It's not to show your neighbor, your roommate that always disrespected you, to show them that you too can be successful. No. You too can jackba. No. That is still living for men. You are still in the prison of the opinion of men in advanced level. In advanced level. Are you with me? So the life in Christ, the journey in Christ, is to strip you of every self-interest. Ayakabaya. That is the journey. His focus is your making. He said, whom he has called, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That is your destination. Where everything about your life is for the Christos, is for the son. Everything is about the son. Everything is about the son. So, physical manifestation, no physical manifestation, you are satisfied in the Son. Physical manifestations has to give glory to the Son. But they don't control your joy. Are you with me? They don't control your joy. They don't control your satisfaction. You are satisfied in Him. He is your satisfaction. If you are blessed, you are blessed. He is your satisfaction. You will not compete. You will not be anxious. You will not fear. People will not take your joy away. Negative circumstances will not. Why? Your perspective has changed. You are living for him. Your perspective has changed. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Hallelujah. Then that perspective will shape your priority. You will have a priority of service. It's the master you are looking for. It's the master you are living for. That becomes your priority. Listen, once you have the right priority, the world will lose its power over your joy. By the time you dissect the reason Christians are depressed, anxious, having panic disorder, and all of those funny things, by the time you break them down and do proper dissection, you will know that it's coming from perspective than priorities. What did Jesus tell Martha? He said, Martha, you are concerned about many things. He didn't say you are concerned about cooking. No. No, if your pastor, no, not pastor. If your prophet visits you, because I may know it. If your prophet visits you, you should be hospitable. So Jesus is not against hospitality. He's saying, Martha, you can read the scripture. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 39 to 42. He said, Martha, you are bothered about many things, not cooking, many things. He said, but one thing is needful. Mary had chosen that part. That means for Mary, the priority is Christ. So Jesus is telling Martha, if you will copy Mary, you will not be worried about many matters. That's what he's saying. If you prioritize me, you will not be worried about many matters. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. If you be like Mary, you will not be worried about many things. That's what he's saying. One thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part, and nothing will take it away from her. Oh, you are being made as a disciple. That's why you're hearing things like this. Hallelujah. Priority. Priority. Hallelujah. Priority. Oh, glory to God. Priority. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Priority. Christ is your priority. He is your priority. He is your one and only. Glory to God. Serving him and his people becomes see, any human, not just Christian, any human, let me start with Christian, any believer whose preoccupation is not serving the Lord and serving God's people will always have opportunities to lose their joy. Can I go harder? In a local church, those who serve in the church, those who volunteer to serve, are more joyful than those who don't volunteer. I can tell you that as a pastor. It's not because they are not facing challenges. It's just God's principle. Do you understand? You are saying advancing God's agenda is my preoccupation. So what time can I give? It's as simple as that. Once it's your preoccupation, you are serving him and serving the people, serving God's people, you don't have opportunity for sorrow. I'm telling you, it doesn't mean challenges will not come. I'm not saying once you become a volunteer in church, you no longer be depressed. No, I'm saying this is statistically now. Those who serve others are more joyful. They are more joyful. When you're in a local church like this, look for opportunities to serve. Anywhere you are, you find yourself in UK, in US, find a local church and look for opportunities to serve. It's compulsory. In your office, serve beyond your allowance. Serve beyond your wages. Serve beyond your salary. You must have the disposition of a servant. We've been shouting, servant, servant. What platform are you serving? In that place where you work, are you serving or you are working to collect money? In church, are you serving? The more you serve, you break the power of this world over your joy. Try it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Serve. For the last more than 2 decades, there is no year, no city I have lived that I have not served. Way more than almost 3 decades that I have not served. None. 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 Is it that I look for the service or the service looks for me? None. None. If I'm too busy to serve in the local church, amen. Number one, it never affected my attendance. Even when I was a busy doctor and I could not serve in the volunteer team of the church, amen. And that happened because in that hospital, there was a fellowship. And from nowhere, somebody just sought me out. I said, come for fellowship. When they saw me, they said, you'll be the next president. For the time you've been in this hospital. Hallelujah. So it either looks for me or I look for it. Priority. If you are blessed, amen.
Amen.
Number three, perseverance. Perseverance. Give me 1 Peter 4:12-16. You see, Christianity is not a denial of opposition. It's not a denial of trials. It's not a denial of challenges. It will never be. It will never be. Now, why is this important? A lot of times people lose their joy because they don't understand perseverance. Write this down. There is such a thing as Christian suffering. Write it down. There is such a thing as Christian suffering. And just a disclaimer, let me say that again. I say, write this down. There is such a thing as Christian suffering. Oh, yes, there is. It's scriptural. And just a disclaimer, Christian suffering is not suffering what Christ died for. In summary, before we read the scriptures, suffering for the believer is suffering of faith and love. This suffering comes in your faith walk and in your love life. Are you with me? Let me rephrase it, because when I say love life, you are thinking of romance. It comes in your faith life and in your love walk. Did you get that? That's where the suffering comes. Your decision to live by faith is suffering to your flesh.
Your decision to do things God's way is suffering to your flesh. It is normal. Are you with me? It is common, rather. It's not unusual. You have to understand that. And it depends on the kind of assignment. I know somebody is not happy. Is he suffering? Jesus, I'm suffering. I thought pastor has always told us we'll never suffer. Hallelujah. He said those that will live godly in this life will suffer persecution. That's suffering. But it doesn't take your joy away. Yeah. Amen. It doesn't take your joy away. You can be treated in a certain way because you are not ready to do things in a certain way. That's suffering. 1 Peter 4:12-16, very quickly. Perseverance is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, and opposition. Are you here? So suffering is biblical. Christ is an example of suffering in faith and in love. Now, why am I saying this? So you can develop this ability to put in continued effort, okay, despite difficulties, failures, and opposition. Because many believers don't understand that. Are you with me? You want to get a job. You know you are beautiful enough to do certain things to get a job. But your faith does not permit you. And they refuse to. I've told you. You see, the fact that you stood for God doesn't mean salvation will come immediately. Can I talk to you? It doesn't mean salvation will come immediately. I seeded my car one time like that. For 2 years, I did not have car. 2 years. 2 years. I said, what? God, now me be this. It's me be this. You trek. But did it affect my joy? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You see, I have to teach you this because a lot of people are losing faith because they are not taught. You see, the principle of consistency of doctrine, I think I taught you that in January. The principle of consistency of doctrine, it means you cannot draw certain conclusion about a topic in the Bible until you have read everything the Bible has to say about it. So you can't take one portion and make doctrinal conclusions. That means you're not consistent with your doctrine. So you can't just take one side of faith and teach it. You have to bring everything that faith. When you read Hebrews 11, you saw what faith meant. For some, faith meant they refused to accept deliverance. They were sawn asunder. They had cruel persecutions. You remember? That's faith. For their faith. So you can't exclude that from your doctrine of faith. If you do that, then your doctrine has breached the principle of consistency of doctrine. But you see, you have to see that scripture through the eyes of Christ. It has to be consistent with the message of Christ. Are you with me? So Christ gives it perspective. That's what I was saying. Am I boring you? So Christ gives suffering perspective. It doesn't mean you accept sickness as norm, no. It doesn't mean you accept poverty as norm, no. It doesn't mean you accept, confusion as the will of God, no. It doesn't mean you accept, well, pastor say, Bible say we can suffer at all. This is my depression, that Jesus can't be that. No, no, no. You know God's will. What we're saying is the decision to walk by faith and walk in love is suffering to your body. It is suffering. He said, beloved, do not think it's strange. Verse, what are you reading? Okay, 12. Do not think it's strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange things happening to you. He said, don't think it's strange. In the fiery trials. Next. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You can see, he's calling joy in the midst of cruel trials. Next verse. Guys, they're taking my time. I should read Just give me time. What did I say? First Peter 4:14. All right. What does it say? He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. And on your path is blasphemed, but on their part is blasphemed, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. He's telling you the kind of suffering not to go to. As a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matter. So if you go and gossip and they slap you, it's your business. That's what he's saying. He said, yet, if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. It's in the Bible. We can't leave it out. You are waiting on God, and it's as though, well, this is your waiting. There are other ways to go about it. He said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Never agree when people tell you to cut corners, to get things done for yourself, to appease men. You are still a slave of the opinions of men. You should get to a place where you tell yourself, if God doesn't do it, let it remain undone. And then you go to God, Lord, show me how to get this done. Are you with me? I know this is your will, but how do I get it done? It doesn't mean you are arrogant too. When we say Christian suffering, you go to God, you are walking with God. Do you understand? You are asking him, you are flexible, you are learning, you are increasing in knowledge. Hallelujah. So you learn to persevere. You learn to stay there. You heard me say just now, sit at the car. For 2 years I was trekking and I was being God. And I was doing that joyfully. Perseverance. And I judge God faithful. I can't go back and say, Kai, like I say, this is so you know the work. Oh. 2 years, that's long. That's long. He even entered my wedding period. Amen. I imagine, no car to put babe. Amen. It's not funny. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it didn't matter so much to her. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you here? No, I'm serious. For real. One day I went to borrow manual car to carry my babe out. And I'm not used to driving manual. My father had always said that I could not drive because I never learned manual. And I did not believe. Onto that, I say it's not just to put clutch and do this. It was a British here, yeah, the accent, I could not continue. I found my way through. And then went to where I was going. That's Christian suffering, amen. I was a big boy, amen. I should not be looking for a manual car to drive. Are you here? I took her on the day, she eventually drove me back. I found our way back from there because I told her, I said, I cannot drive this car. You learn, you know how to drive manual, so just drive. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Perseverance. There was a time. Listen, this church was less than 100 for 2 years. And the fire was permanent. The faith was palpable. We were happy. Happy. There was a day we came to church, there were 16 people. You know, 16, that was like 2 lines. Less than these 2 lines. Amen. We preached good. Preached good. Are you with me? You pray for people and they will die. You pray for the next person. Perseverance. You call, mother, come to me. You see, that first 6 months, I said I did not go for NYC. I said, okay, I didn't tell you the stories in this service. I knew God called me. I wanted to have some time. So I said, okay, no NYC. They posted me to Imo State. I said, what am I going to do there? No NYC. Amen. And then I didn't take a job. If I took a job, I could make 150 a month. Amen. I didn't take a job. I was just soaking. There was Christian suffering. Can I get an amen? You know what it means? So your salary was like 200k before. And then you stopped. So you are pursuing God. You want to press into God. You need food. You are an adult now. You understand? You are not calling home for money. Hallelujah. But it meant nothing. I was squatting. I didn't calculate. I was joyful. because I knew the impact of that season on my future. Maybe I wouldn't have been here today if I didn't take that time out. Perseverance, plan to suffer for the right cause, for faith and for love. A friend of mine even sent me a car. So someone who could send you a car was enough. I was in jobs. He told me, say, register a company. Let me give you some contract. The Holy Ghost said, no. That was 2012, 2013. The Holy Spirit said, no. I heard him clearly. I slowed down. I explained it away. I said, okay, the place ministry. Now, I don't want any distraction. I'm sure you felt I was a foolish man. I don't want any distraction and all that. But I knew God told me. It wasn't because it was wrong. It is suffering. Are you with me? It is suffering. One of those days, I was talking to one of my classmates. Then, church had grown a little. I was an allowance of 50,000, sorry. Amen. 50K. And then this guy just come and said, man, he just got a job. And they are paying him 900K every month. Somebody said, what's his own self? Must you call at such a time? I'm serious. And I just entered full-time ministry. My allowance from church, 50,000. That is 100K and an NGO. Do you understand? Well, he crossed, I said, okay, we're in the same class, so even God knows. See 900K here. And it was not the job I could not get. But it was not compatible with my assignment. Is it because I did not need a 900K? Offering. I'm giving you an example. In your path of destiny, part of what God will do is to try you. And that trial, you have seasons where it's as though God has forgotten you, but he doesn't forget you. He tries your heart. Never let those things affect your joy. Learn to persevere. Learn to put up a fight. Despite failures, oppositions, learn to put up a fight. Learn to keep pushing, to keep stretching. Don't give up. Don't give up too easily. Life is not Instagram. Don't give up too easily. Learn some perseverance. You will stay there and say, Lord, my life will be a story that will encourage someone. Say, don't abort God's process with all this complaining. Lord, why me? People are better than I've gone. Just keep quiet. Some people who are better than you are in the grave now. Are you aware? They are buried and forgotten. Be grateful and persevere. Is it suffer unto God? We don't look for suffering. We don't look for pain. That's wrong. But if it ever crosses our path and things demand that you persevere. Your joy is not in that. Perseverance means you're putting up a fight without it affecting your joy. That's what I'm saying. Okay. If you're complaining, it's not persevering. You have lost it. Things are not changing and you're complaining. That's 2-0. It's 2-0. Perseverance means you are keeping up the fight with joy. With joy. With joy. You know that scripture. It says long suffering. With joy. You tell God, I'm expecting things to change any moment too. But if I'm to wait for 2 years, it's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'll put up a fight because it's your will. Because I'm sure by now you're tired of giving God a deadline. Amen. Are you not tired? You have not reached your end. Don't feel bad. We're all dead. Say, God, this car in 1 year. Shkaba, shkaba, shakaba. Na lie. Don't put God under pressure. Holy Ghost, you owe me something. He's not owing you anything. Don't put God under pressure. If our faith doesn't work under pressure, faith works when the peace of God has mounted guard over your heart. I tell you the truth. Where you get to that point, you are at peace. You love God. You are putting your best. You are growing. But the absence of the things doesn't affect your joy. It is at work. Rise to your feet. Hey! Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.